is a renowned choreographer, and Penny Saunders was also a renowned choreographer. Jennifer really wanted to take on in this piece the evolution of what it means to deal with masculinity, you know, from boyhood all the way up and through what it means to be a man, and how do you embrace that, and what does life look like? Whereas Penny Saunders really wanted to create a piece that had more movement, more flow. It's a bit more sultry. You know, you've got some French music in there that's really great. But my piece that's on the program is a creation that I am endeavoring on. It's a world premiere. It's a story that deals directly with an individual struggling with addiction, mental health, and her life is sort of falling apart, and we watch as that unfurls in front of us. And I really am trying to emphasize the message that life can be challenging and that life can be overwhelming, and addiction is sort of the usage in that space, also to raise awareness of what our community is struggling with on a day-to-day basis. But the ballet ends with a ray of hope, you know, that she sees all of the things that sort of fell apart still in front of her, but everybody is still there to support her and to lift her up, bring her into the next phase of life that will look different after some of the choices that were made, but that it doesn't have to be a disaster. And so the idea of hope resonates across the entire thing, despite watching our main character struggle. And what's really great about this is that we've had support from the National Endowment for the Arts to create conversations in our community centered around addiction and centered around the treatment, centered around what happens to an individual, ideally creating a sense of empathy and caring in our community that allows people to not just look at this as somebody else's problem, but recognizing that it's our problem as a community and we need to deal with it.
And what kind of issues are you tackling when it comes to our community or the community needs to deal with this type of with this type of addiction? When you say needs to deal with, is it encouraging them to go to rehab or being there for them or just being a pillar of support? Or how will one help deal with someone dealing with addiction?
I think all three of those things, right? So I think all of us find ourselves in different parts of people's lives at this moment. Some of us may be struggling and may not feel comfortable going after the help because, one, we don't know that we can and that it'll be accepted. Two, it may be that we see somebody who has an affliction that they're dealing with and they can't get their hands around it. And so providing these conversations gives us the space to provide the resources to the community to go, hey, look, did you know that there's a private care clinic here or that the public treatment is here as well, so that there are free access to resources that you can use if money is an issue? Those kinds of things, I think, can really help an individual, as well as providing the support for somebody who is viewing this because they themselves are trying to understand how to make their lives with this person better and how to support that individual, right? Because you take a deep sense of responsibility when somebody in your life is going through so much pain. How do you deal with that? We have those conversations. We provide the resources to help give people that opportunity. And then I think, generally speaking, nobody's doing a ballet about this. You know, so when we have a different type of audience in the dance or the ballet world who maybe isn't paying any attention to it, or, you know, we hear about fentanyl all the time. Well, that's somebody else's issue, or that's this. Let's raise the awareness around the center of the issue of fentanyl, which is that one time youth can kill. You know, just trying a drug once with laced with fentanyl can kill an individual. So it's not even just like your chronic drug users or people who are struggling with addiction. It can be somebody who's just having a good time one night and trying to figure out what it is that life is about. And so these things, raising awareness about it, I think can just generally enhance and help the community.
And what kind of response have you gotten, I guess, during your rehearsals? And have you guys had a showing of it yet or no? Not yet, right?
No, we premiere May 2nd to the 4th.
That's right.
So we're right now, you know, I would tell you that this is a personal journey for myself as well. And so having to share why I wanted to tell a bit of the story, it's not about me, this personal life that I've lived, but it has impacted me both from watching it happen in my family to also personal experience. I had to share that with the artist to tell them why we were telling the story. And so for them, I mean, I was terrified, of course, to share something deeply personal about my life with this group of people that I'm supposed to be this, you know, huge leader of, and how does the vulnerability work in that? And I would tell you that they greeted me with warmth and openness and a willingness to tackle this challenge. And sharing it with the community, I have felt the exact same thing, is that people are really behind the concept of sharing this and they want to rally to the cause. And I have just been truly overwhelmed. I've had people walking up to me and giving me books. I've had people going, you know, I don't tell anybody this, but I'm living this. I'm experiencing this. My family's going through this. Thank you for sharing the story and raising awareness. And that, to me, that's the win, you know? So I'm hoping I create something really, really beautiful and that the audience loved it and that it's as compelling as I want it to be. But at the same time, I'm going to feel a sense of, I think, real pride in our community that people are speaking out about it and recognizing that there are available resources.
Are there any other innovations that you guys incorporated in the show? The show itself is innovative. Like you said before, there's not a lot of ballets about, you know, addiction. Of course, there's underlying meanings with lots of ballets, but when you have one that's just delving into it, it's pretty innovative and it's pretty impactful, right? But the real crux of the matter is, do you feel that there's any standouts with when it comes to, or innovations when it comes to the wardrobe or the set design? Have you guys done anything in procure, like, without giving a spoiler, is, can you like tease us and give us some more information as to, cause I mean, you could do so much with this topic, I'm sure.
You can. And so I won't even venture to guess if you've had any personal experience with the idea of a euphoric high or a euphoric low or a desolate low. But one of the things that I tackle in this is the concept of delirium tremens. And so in that, when you go through a very serious withdrawal, you can have auditory and visual hallucinations and your reality space can actually change. And so one of the things that I really wanted to tackle in this was the notion of a shifting lens of our main character. And I'm really excited that I found a set designer in Mark Halpin. I have found a lighting and projection designer in Sharon Huizinga, and then Noelle Wettig, who has done the costumes. And so I'm able to work with them to create some, I think, very bright and colorful costumes, some incredible lighting, but a set that works on forced perspective and has generated flat surfaces enough to use the projections to shift the scenes. And then we start to watch as the reality shifts inside, especially that big, big, what I call the street scene, where she's experiencing full-blown withdrawals, the city that should look like a normal thing. There are masks and there are exaggerated features and the costumes and the lights and the way that the actual set now can be manipulated through the projections. And so these are the things that, as an artist, I've really been obsessed with, is this notion of forced perspective, creating more than the 2D proscenium-based stage, and then utilizing new technology to help set the stage and the experience for the audience, so that it's not just like we move a set piece or we do this. Heavily influenced by some of the brand new Broadway shows that are just killer out there, you know, like Sunset Boulevard I just saw, which was so fantastic. And I want the audience to have a real visceral experience, but I also want them to be wowed by the overall production quality of it. So we've got a brand new set, brand new costumes, brand new lighting, brand new everything. And so it's really, really fun.
Well, I know. When you were speaking about it, I felt like I was on a trip.
I didn't want to put it that way, but it's going to be a little bit like that. You know, I think the audience is going to walk out of it going like,
it's like a rave ballet. I was like, what's going on? Like when you described it, I was thinking of a rave. And like,
I would be reticent if I didn't say that some of my like early teenage years, you know, going to clubs in Houston maybe didn't influence some element of that. Like, yes, of course that exists. So again, I don't want to go into too much detail about my old life, but certainly there were moments of like exactly that. Like you go to a rave and you see the laser light show and you get to see different images and experience them. That definitely lives in this. You're the first person to pick up on it. So thank you.
No, I'm silly too. But I was going to ask you as well, now you have this show and you have all the success, right? How did you get to the space of being able to juggle all these different things? Because you have so many, you work in so many different departments, right? And you have to oversee such a large production. And then also you're the CEO of the ballet company too, right? So it's like you have to do administrative. How did you get to this space where you were able to balance this? Because you seem like a pretty balanced person.
Well, I appreciate that. I think I would argue that at one moment or another, one side of the brain takes over. Yes. And so you can't do anything by yourself. And I have a fantastic team that helps to support me in every way, shape and form. But the interesting thing was, as a dancer, I gravitated necessarily towards how the administrative side of things worked. And so for me, the two things go so hand in hand, right? Like if you're producing, let's say, even this podcast, you know that you have to have the resources necessary to do it. And when you know that you have to have the resources necessary to do it, your brain can then either creatively go, I'm not going to be, you know, subject to the limitation of those resources, or it can be that these resources are what I have and I have to creatively work within the context of that. And so through all of my different jobs and all of my different parts of this career, I've had to do that, right? Which is create the best work we possibly can create with a limited number of dollars or a limited number of resources. And so for me, you know, I used to tell a friend of mine that I was on the precipice of something really interesting back when I was dancing, because I was going to school and doing the admin thing and it didn't make sense. I couldn't find that like merger of what my brain needed to be. And then as this little sort of unfolded and unfurled itself in front of me, I went, this is it. This is the opportunity for me to sit there and go, I can work inside of the structure of an organization. I can be creative and I can drive everything together. And, you know, they're literally on one shoulder is the guy going, save all the money. And then on the other guy is the guy going, spend all the money. And those two have to meet somewhere in the middle. And so it's literally like I get to argue with me, but I get to have that conversation with myself and then help the work like guide the organization in such a way that it is, I don't know, very fulfilling. I don't know how it happens that way, but I just feel like every little dot of experience was something I seized on that got me to that place.
And how long has the theater been running, or the company?
The company is now 39 years old. We turn 40 next year.
And so this is going to be one of the, I guess, one of the most provocative ballets that I've, when I saw it come through our digital desk, I was like, whoa, this is like pretty intense. And then, like I said before, the artwork, I thought you shot it, but I read it wrong, but the artwork is so provocative. It's so beautiful. When I saw the pieces, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, and it's going to, you know, it's in Nashville of all places, right? Yeah. So Nashville.
So I would tell you, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying that I'm good.
No, I mean, I think that's what I want you to think, right? You're like, it's not LA, it's not New York, you know, in our ballet world, it's Seattle or Houston. It's like, no, what we're going to do here and what the vision for this company is to really focus on creating something here locally with all of the talent we have that resonates globally. That's the vision for the organization, simply because Nashville has just an extreme amount of talent, so many wonderful musicians, so many wonderful artists. So we can create something really magical here that's unique to this community. We can't do what everybody in LA can do, and we can't do what everybody in New York can do, but let's not. Let's do something really fantastic that makes us unique and makes us so special that people are going to want to, like yourself, go, what are y'all doing? Except probably you wouldn't say y'all. You know what I mean? It's like that's a magical thing, but it's possible here. And for me, this is exploring the limits of that. And for me, and two, you know, it's like it's pushing my boundaries so much. And I really hope that our audience feels that and gets excited by it and goes, maybe it wasn't a hit and, you know, home run all the way through, but this is the kind of work we want to see. And this is the kind of company we want to support.
For anybody that's familiar with Nashville, where's the performance going to be located? I stayed and did a story on the, Visit Nashville. And I did a story on the Omni Hotel and the Country Music Museum. And then I went to City Winery. I met Michael, I forgot to mess his name up. But I met one of the owners of City Winery before they were building it, literally. And then, so where would you be? Cause you know, when I think of Nashville, I'm thinking of like the wine and beer festival with, I'm thinking about honky tonk bars.
And so I know you're thinking of downtown. You're thinking of that Broadway section, and I know exactly where you are. And I know the Omni really well, and the Country Music Hall of Fame. They're good friends of ours. But if you were to go, so like if you're down on Broadway and you go a little bit up the hill, if you're facing the river, you go a little bit up the hill. We're performing at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, which is right near the Capitol Building, and so we've got three theaters inside of there. National Ballet is the resident company for ballet and dance in the Tennessee Performing Arts Center. And so we would be performing in the Polk Theater at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, which is really exciting.
And how many seats are in the Polk Theater? How many seats are in there?
It's about 1,100 in that specific theater. And so we're excited about that. We'll have inventory. But the other thing I want to really mention for your audience is that this piece has original music composition, and there's going to be a 9-piece orchestra that's going to be in the pit with this, as well as 5 original songs written by Courtney Marie Andrews that are going to be performed live on stage. And so you've got live, wonderful local musicians that are going to be there doing the work. You've got a singer-songwriter that's there along with all of the other pieces of this. And Jordan Lenning put the entire musical composition together after hearing the story. So it's not like the story is being wedged into the music. The music was created with the narrative in mind and adapted for that as well. So there's something, like I said, really magical that happens in that kind of collaboration.
Wow, it sounds beautiful, because I love orchestras, especially like when you hear the violins play, things get a little sinister.
Or they just like arc into like something really beautiful and heartbreaking,
yeah,
and shattering. And so like I love to play inside of that space as well, which is really
fun.
Yeah,
I'm sure you play at a harp for this too. I'm sure you have a couple of crazy instruments in there, because when you say addiction, I'm thinking like, whoa, this is gonna be really intense. But it sounds like a beautiful play. I mean it's so now, right? With everything going on in the world, especially we've been locked in our homes for 5 years. We just got out, and now we have, you know, a new administration with the U.S. government. We have all these things going on. I think a lot of people want to see something that's – I think we all want to be a part of a community, but I also want to be a part of a community that makes sense. So I feel like what you're offering people in Nashville is just not the run-of-the-mill what they're used to. This is going to be an opportunity, but it's also like modernized, right? You're telling like a temporary story that's loosely based on some of your experiences, as well as I'm sure some friends. And these are going to have these amazing dancers that are going to interpret that story, as well as have the music being composed by an orchestra, which is like, that's some next level stuff, Nick.
I got to tell you, when I was like, I'm going to do this, I started the project, I was like, I was joking with another choreographer, actually Jennifer Archibald was here, and we were talking about some things, and it was like, okay, so we're going to do this thing and we're going to make some work. And then they're like, the amount of questions that people have at the level of detail that each one of these professionals work at. And it's not just your dancers, right? Cause I'm a choreographer and I was in the dance space, but now it's your production team. And then for costumes, one of my favorite questions, when I finally just lost it, she goes, what color socks do you want them to be wearing? And I was like, I promise you, I haven't thought of sock color at all. I'm sorry. Let me give me a minute.